I believe we who we love the Lord are so happy and so grateful when we can sing songs of praise. We are so glad that we don't sing for the glory of a man, but to our God, who loved us, who gave himself for us, who paid the price for us. On the cross of Calvary, I thought today by myself, many made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, it was in the news, and many of them have carried heavy crosses. I thought, it is so wonderful that for the true believers, the Lord has carried the cross. Isn't this wonderful? People are just imitating it and want to perform something. But for us, the Lord carried the cross. He went. He paid the price. He was crucified. Today, the people probably have pity that he was crucified, that he had to suffer. But we can say, we are so glad that he went, that he paid the price, that he redeemed us. Oh, how glad we are, because we know he did great things on us. And this only people can sing on whom he has done great things, on whom he didn't do anything yet, they cannot sing. But it must happen. It can still come. It's not too late yet. God is still on the throne, and we know great things can happen. If we didn't experience the Lord yet, we can experience him tonight. He wants to reveal himself to us. Before we pray together, I would like to read the Word of God from 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1, from verse 10. Here Peter speaks these wonderful words. Maybe we should stand up while we read the Word. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my disease to have these things always in remembrance. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may always look at your word. Lord, we don't want to forget to put it always mightily upon the lampstand to glorify what great things you have done also in our days, Lord. Lord, for you did not work in secret, but worldwide. All the world could see it and hear it, and may still hear and see it. For you are at work. O Lord, we praise your grace. We glorify your name. Faithful Lord, we thank you that you went, Lord, and you paid the price for us. O Lord, now we want to be ready when you will again appear to take your own home. Help your people. Help us, Lord. Be merciful to us tonight and also these days, Lord. Lord, may your word accomplish in all of us for what you are sending it for. Lord, we ask it. Help all to hear and help to speak. Praise and glory and worship be to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We believe that these will be days which God has made so that people get saved, delivered, healed, and that they are blessed. That we, at the end of these days, with gratitude, can look back on that, what God has done. We have already sung by faith, the Lord has done great things on us. We praise Him while sitting on an ash heap. And we believe that He has done already many and great things. And we believe that He can do even more and even greater things, and that He will do it. All who were here on a Wednesday night for the prayer meeting, they heard about the prayer petition that was presented to us here for the first time in a unique way. Most surely, you have heard of the sickness of the 20th century, AIDS, incurable, without hope for the one who is affected. Who remembers that Wednesday night at this place when the prayer request was presented and the case in Czechoslovakia, incurable, waiting for death, and nevertheless, God has given us faith. And yesterday came the letter, right? Yesterday came the letter that God 100% has healed and He did a miracle. And for this we are grateful with all our hearts. Right, Brother Rus? You remember that evening at this place, and we have dared to take God at His word. Whom He answered does not matter at all. We say He has answered us. For this we are very, very grateful. You all know it does good to us when we hear testimonies and when we come to know that God has answered. It did so well to me. When I heard this yesterday, I was glad and grateful. Why should we not dare to take God always anew at His word, to trust Him, to believe Him, knowing that He made all things well already on the cross of Calvary? About this we will speak today. But it can only find practical application and be manifested if we believe that it happened for us personally, that it is available for us personally, that we personally were redeemed. It must become a very personal matter. In particular, I would like, right at the beginning of these meetings, I would like to address a word to all to whom such kind of meetings are new. I can guarantee you that it is only for the first time very new. For the second time, it is no more so very new. And for the third time, it is then already well known. And all the other times, it is just then something common for our spiritual life. So, also we once came for the first time in such a meeting, and we thank God that He has directed our feet in such a way, touching our hearts, to come under the sound of the Word of God. Who of you is grateful that he once came for the first time under the proclamation of the Word? Amen. Amen. Praise be to the living God. Hallelujah. We are at home here. We don't need formalities. We need movement of the Holy Spirit. New life from God. A new experience with God in these days. But we just welcome all our friends who participate for the first time in such meetings. We welcome them in a very special way. And we ask you to bear with us. Should there be things which you don't understand fully, which are new to you in a service, don't worry about it. The Lord will give you clarity about everything by His grace. Then we also want to straight away emphasize that if possible, by the help of God, everything what suppresses us, what burdens us, what pulls us down, that we lay down, that we these days, that we really make use of them to come into the presence of God, to have a new experience with Him. Let us take care for it. Pardon me. I just see our beloved brother from the German Democratic Republic. Be welcome. God bless you. Amen. What did he have? 16 or 25 bone fractures, and God has healed him. There are things of which one should almost say it's impossible, and yet it is possible. For with God, all things are possible. Really, all things. And we just want to let our faith ascend a bit in these days. After all, we don't believe in us and not in our ability. We believe in the living God, and He can do all things. Praise and thanks be to His wonderful name. If we would list all the testimonies of that what God has done, or report Him here, there would be a lot to tell. Among them who know what God has done in this generation, the opinion seems to have spread that with the mighty ministry of Brother Branham, everything is finished. I am of a totally different opinion. I am of the opinion that with a mighty ministry, God has made a very new beginning to show us in this generation Jesus Christ as the same yesterday, today, and forever in a very new way. For everybody can make words, but if then God stands to it and confirms His word, then there's joy in the heart, joy in the house, joy in the church, joy among the people of God. So, let us lay everything down, what could burden us, and let us take care of that we also don't burden each other with some kind of remarks or statements. Let us make use of this time to become still before God and to only say something there where it is needed, and as Paul expresses it, and where it brings blessings to the listeners. If we are convinced that what we want to say brings to the person concerned blessing, then say it with all your heart. But if you weigh the matter and even a little doubt comes up, then say nothing. Because what doesn't come by faith, this is sin. And by faith, we can only say that what can stand before God. Right? So let us do accordingly with God's help. I know that we all need the power from God and also His wisdom to comply with everything. And there, where there is still lack, there may He help us. We have these 3 days, we laid them already before the Lord, that He makes them a very special blessing for us and for many others. Today, we will speak about what happened on that Good Friday almost 2,000 years ago. But not only about that what happened, but also about that what is connected for us with this great event. If we would know what happened there without knowing to what extent it is connected with us, then it would be of no use to us. We would like to have a full blessing of that what happened there. And may God, by His grace, watch over us. May He give grace to speak, grace to hear, grace to believe, grace to have an experience with Him in these days. And if we would close our eyes, deepening ourselves completely, joining us with God in our hearts and in our spirit, to really experience all that what happened for us and to take it along on our way of life. Let us read some scriptures. We start with Matthew 27. Matthew 27, here we read from verse 45. Matthew 27 from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Maybe this word until here. May I ask that we once again stand up to pray. Faithful Lord, we have read this word and are in the Spirit transferred to that day on which all this took place and has happened. Faithful Lord, on one hand, we are sad about that this became necessary and that you had to walk this way, which no other one could walk or has walked. What a day it was, O Lord. A day which went into history of the plan of salvation. A day of the reconciliation of God with mankind. Dear Lord, may you make us still today in your presence, that we see you as the crucified one, as the one who was hanging between the heaven and the earth, as the one who gave his last drop of blood to redeem us. Beloved Lamb of God, may it please you to make use of this day, of this evening, to speak to our hearts, to make them soft, to win them, overwhelm us all with your divine love. To you, the precious Lamb of God that let himself be sacrificed, be the praise and glory, honor and worship throughout all eternity. Amen. Let us remain standing and sing the chorus, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Once again. Amen. You may be seated. Whoever has read the Holy Scripture, he knows that God created man in his image, namely to have fellowship with him, to live eternally without sin, without sickness, without death. God wanted that man remains in the untroubled fellowship and connection with him throughout all eternity. We know, according to Genesis 1:27, the Lord God created man. Man, the crowning of the creation, the last, the greatest, the most mighty man was set by God above everything what existed on the earth. But this untroubled fellowship didn't last for long. On this earth, it happened that the enemy seduced the first human beings, and thus he brought them under his influence, and thus he had power over them to rule over them. The fellowship with God was interrupted. The fellowship was broken. Man was cast out of paradise and went his way without God, without hope. In despair, they went on. Then God, by prophets and servants, already in the Old Testament, he announced that the Redeemer would come. The first announcement the Lord has made himself. In Genesis 3, verse 15, when he spoke of the seed of the woman which would come to bruise the head of the serpent. From this first promise, other promises through the mouth of the prophets have found their place, and thus a living hope was awakened in them who, although separated from God, yet they had a longing to be newly connected with him, for they knew this separated condition cannot be that what God wants to have in eternity. There were people who were separated from God like all the others, but they were ordained to again be joined with God. And these people have, during all of the Old Testament time, they had this living hope in them that the reconciliation with God will come. And we will still come to the details. God never made a mistake. Everything runs according to his program. Only we as human beings, we have sometimes trouble to let ourselves be placed into the will of God and into the plan of God. But right, such services are ordained that we don't philosophize, but that we recognize that God speaks to us through his word, that he bindingly speaks with us, and that his word cannot return void unto him, but it will accomplish for what he has sent it for. Let us fix this first point. Within mankind, there was, since the days of Adam, those who knew precisely that the separated condition from God cannot be the final. There were people who had a living hope to the living God in them. And I may tell you today, God didn't disappoint them. God confirmed the hope which he himself based upon his promise laid into them. For, as already mentioned, the first promise came from the mouth of the Lord, that the seed of the woman would come to bruise the head of the old serpent. Outwardly, all people came under this influence here on this earth. And therefore, the Lord had to come from the spiritual body into the body of flesh to hear in a human body as the Lord of Lords and as the King of Kings accomplish the redemption and to legally purchase us, for we are a part of this earth, earthly speaking. From the earth we were taken, and to earth we return. But in this earthly tabernacle, there is still something else, something divine. There is the soul, and this soul had to be redeemed. It had to be taken out from the sphere of influence of Satan to be transferred back into the kingdom of God. Here, we have read it. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. I think here in this connection on two scriptures. The first one from Moses. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the second scripture from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee like the sun. A darkness came from the sixth to the ninth hour upon all the land. What is written in the prophet Isaiah? Those who sat in darkness have seen a bright light. God made known unto us the ways of life and peace by his grace. The darkness had to come to show outwardly that the whole world lies in darkness and wickedness, without light, without hope, without life in this world. But it didn't remain with this. We will speak about this on Easter Sunday. A new day broke forth. A new day, new life broke forth by the grace of our God. But before the new beginning can be emphasized, we must meet the old end and see where God made an end to the old, to see where he started the new. God had one point where to the old was made an end, and God has a point where to the new the beginning was made. And believe me, to the old, on the cross of Calvary, the end was made. We were crucified with Christ. We died with him. And if this cannot become true in our life, then it cannot become true that we rose with him unto a new life. Whoever cannot say like Paul, out of experience, not just quoting a Bible text, but who can say out of experience saying with a true heart, I am crucified with Christ. He will never be able to say, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. But he who by the grace of God has experienced it, to have been crucified with Christ, he can also confess, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Do we all have the longing in our hearts to experience these two things in these days, very concrete with God? That we meet our end and then meet our new beginning. Wouldn't that be nice? Let us ponder on these things by faith in our hearts, and let us believe and trust the Lord that he will do it in us. How many can believe that this could be the weekend, these 3 days in which God is able to do great things in all of us? But then we must do one thing, beloved. Then we must go inwardly with the matter of God. We must have a yes in our hearts. We must be able to say yes and amen to every word that was left to us and that is looked at in this connection. We know the first human beings felt more terrible than we, who we never experienced this untroubled fellowship with God. We have come into this world automatically separated from God, being born in sin. But God has laid into us a longing towards him, to his word, and then of course towards his grace. With the first human beings, it was a bit different. In the cool of the day, at evening, the Lord came into the garden to speak with these people personally, to have fellowship with them. And I can imagine it. That's how it will be again. When we leave this world to then be with the Lord at all times. But just imagine how the first human beings have felt when suddenly it was said, get out. And the door was closed. And the angel with a turning sword stood before. No access anymore to the tree of life. No fellowship anymore with the Lord. And I tell you, whoever is a believer for some years and partly maybe had to experience what it means to have been taken out from a direct fellowship with God for some time, such a person speaks loud or silent, my life has no longer any meaning. There are people who are ordained to have fellowship with God, and they cannot live without this fellowship with God. And thus it shall be with all of us. The bridge has been made. The damage was made well again by his grace. I believe it with all my heart. I of course don't look to paradise to see there the angel with a turning sword without having access to the tree of life. I see him who died on Calvary, and in dying he cried out, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The access is free. in the moment when the sword pierced into the side of our Lord and the blood gushed forth and he cried out, "It is finished," giving up his ghost. In that moment, the way was free. The reconciliation, the redemption, the connection with God has been given back. In this way, the word of the scripture was fulfilled from 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. But all this is the work of God. And then comes verse 19. For God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. You and I have in our hearts a longing to have fellowship with God. For this reason we are here. And I may assure you, we could not have this longing in us unless the fellowship with God was intended for us. Everything what God does is well done. He gives the longing. He satisfies the longing. He gives promises. He fulfills them. He is a just God. He also there had to stand to his word that he has spoken. The day you eat thereof, you shall die. He couldn't keep the broken word unbroken. It was transgressed, and in this way, the people crossed over into the other realm. But he could do one thing. He could make this damage well again, not by arguments, but through the personal mission on the cross of Calvary. Beloved, here we come to the point. Because we as human beings have personally sinned and thus have become guilty before God, therefore the Lord God had to come personally to make this damage well again. By words and promises, he has announced it, but he had to do it himself, and he has done it. He has finished it, and this for you and for me. How many can believe today that the reconciliation, as it happened almost 2,000 years ago, is yours and mine? Can you believe it? It is our part. We must, if we believe it, we must also thank the Lord for it. Unbelief looks on circumstances, and it says, "You are not as you should be." This we will probably even say in the last week before the rapture, if we are honest and sincere. But let me say to you tonight, faith is the victory which has overcome the world. As the Old Testament saints and believers carried in them the living hope without seeing the promise fulfilled, we carry the promise in us and we will see it fulfilled. In Hebrews it says, they could not be made perfect without us. But when the fullness will have come in, then Jesus Christ returns. And there will be a meeting of all them who hoped, who waited, who believed. And together with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, with all who have put their hope in God, not on themselves, but on God, they cannot be put to shame, and they will see the glory of God. In Luke 23, some words are written to which I want to refer briefly. Luke 23, from verse 47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that spectacle, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Firstly, just up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Here, a word is used which I don't like at all. Here the word spectacle is written. I want to call it, from my point of view, stage. It was the place where the greatest battle of all times had to be fought. A battleground. But there were curious onlookers who didn't know at all what it was all about. Some didn't believe anyhow, and the others who put their hope into the Messiah, they said, "We have hoped he would redeem Israel." Who understood at that time, as the prophet Isaiah formulates it, that he would be cut off because of the sins of the people? Here we see, or read, "And all the people that came together to that spectacle," there the cross on this knoll, on this hill, Golgotha, the place of the skulls, and the curious onlookers are present everywhere. They watch how our Lord was spit at, how he was mocked and beaten. Earlier, the clothes were taken from him, and a purple garment hanged around him. He should look royal. And they fell down before him to mock him thereby, because he said that he is the King of the Jews. A spectacle like there was none other in the history of mankind. And there will be no other like this. For us, no spectacle, for we are no spectators. We are involved. We are participants. It was a battleground, a stage. There, the powers of darkness had to be conquered. Outwardly, it looked like as if Jesus Christ was defeated, as if the thing he has set out to do has failed. His own left him also. He hang there alone between heaven and earth. And yet not alone. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Beloved, let us believe it tonight with all our heart that it was not only a stage, but the place of the divine decision, of the divine victory over the powers of Satan here on this earth. What use could it have done to us if the Lord would have conquered the powers of the enemy somewhere there in the air? We, of course, have to deal with it. He dealt with them. And I believe what the Holy Scripture tells us about it, And this we want to read now. They are precious words of God. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. Colossians 2 from verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. This remains true forever. I say it once again, outwardly, we see there our dear Lord, earthly speaking, powerless, hanging on the cross. But there, the victory of God was manifest. It was not the battle with earthly words. It was the price which was paid, with which the matter could be settled. Our Lord met the enemy time and again with the word of the scripture. But here it was about more than just a dispute with words. Here it was about the solution, about the redemption, about the bailing out, that man can belong to God again, that he can become God's own possession. Beloved, that Friday was an extraordinary day. But let me list you some things here. The birth of Jesus was extraordinary. The life of Jesus was extraordinary. The ministry of Jesus was extraordinary. The miracles which he did were extraordinary. Also his suffering and dying were extraordinary. There is no man and no situation that could be compared here. Recently, I met somebody on a flight, and it was said to me, Christ could be compared to the other religious founders. Oh, I cannot tell you what then in such a moment goes on within me. My Redeemer is not somebody who can be compared to anybody. My Redeemer is God manifested in the shape of a man. Our Redeemer is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But the people see him in his weakness. If one compares him with a man, then others went home in triumph, drowning in flowers. One just needs to read history of these men. The way our Lord died, nobody else died. But let me emphasize one thing. His dying was worthwhile. There will be a reward, a multitude. I just dare to believe it, which nobody can count. Of course, you can call numbers in billions, but if you would see here today 100,000, and I would ask, count them please, then you would have to say, this is impossible. If the Holy Scripture speaks of a countless number, then it doesn't have to mean that one cannot express it in numbers. But I believe that so many the enemy has pulled down with himself when he made his rebellion in heaven. So many Christ will take up so that the number is full eternally and that perfection is guaranteed in the divine completion for all eternity. Don't you worry. God was never laughed at and will never be ridiculed. Also in these days, it may look like that the true believers are losing. They are mocked at, they are misconceived, spit at, all kinds of things are made with them. And we may go around sad and ask, Lord, for how long shall it be like that? With God, there is a time for everything. The time of decrease, the time of increase, the time of trials and afflictions, the days of joy and of blessing. God can change everything and can do everything at the right time. Tonight, it is about this divine fact that Christ, on this great stage, on the site of decision, here on earth, with all powers of darkness, he settled the account, that he defeated them, and that Satan has no right on us. We are redeemed. We are delivered. We are healed. For this he became surety when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Also, the question of guilt is clarified. Today it's always about whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I want to say to you, or rather emphasize it again, the question of guilt was clarified. Guilty is everyone, although he declares himself to be innocent. Before God, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And he says in his word, come, let us reason together. And even your sin would be red as scarlet, it shall become whiter than the snow. On Calvary is for that, for you and for me, the 100% guarantee. And whoever does not believe this will die in his sin. But he will not die in his sin because he sinned. He will die in his sin if he didn't believe that he was redeemed and that he received forgiveness from God. Therein is the point, because in this case, one would not have received the offering of grace from God. Here it is written, having forgiven us all trespasses by his grace. Hallelujah. All. Here we can be all very happy. All trespasses. Not only some. Not just a few. Not some which we would have chosen. All. All. And for me, all is all. Having forgiven us all trespasses by his grace. Can you believe it this evening? That nothing is left that he should still forgive. Believe as the scripture says, and you will experience it, that all trespasses have been forgiven by his grace. The amen was very weak. Beloved, if we want to get happy in God, we must believe as the scripture says. And whoever cannot believe as the scripture says, makes God a liar. Did you read this in the Epistle of John? Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. Today, we are here to believe God, to believe that there on Calvary, a contention, a conquering of the powers of the enemy, a paying of the debt, a blotting out of sin, a reconciliation with God, with mankind took place. Can you believe this tonight? Then forget the guilt and sin, because God has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. We time and again remember it and are tormented. And in this way, we don't come to the joy that we should have in our God and also can have it. Here more is written, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. You all know, if there is a debt and the bailiff comes into the house and puts the bailiff's seal here and there, their things are distrained and confiscated. All of this is no more possible. The bailiff can stay at home. The account is settled. There is nothing left to get, for the Lord laid everything on himself and has carried it to the cross. And if he has carried it there, then you and I don't need to carry it anymore. Praise and glory be to our God. I wished that we in these days would have the opportunity to preach the gospel in the same freshness as our brothers, the apostles, had it at the beginning, who experienced all this and who were eye and ear witnesses of that, what happened at that time. And who wants to argue with me that the Lord will do it once more, that also we become ear and eye witnesses of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. For we believe that he is risen and that we may live together with him. Now please listen also to this now. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances by nailing it to the cross. Not only he was nailed to the cross, this letter of requirements, which was against us because of all the commandments and statutes, we were guilty. And the Lord, he took this letter of requirements with him to the cross. It was nailed there to the cross together with our Redeemer. It was not thrown into the trash. The letter of requirements was together with him who bore our guilt, who was made sin for us. Together with him, it was nailed to the cross. And you all know, it were not only the nails, it was the love towards us that was holding him there on the cross. But now still the rest which belongs to it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who of them who stood there has seen it? Who noticed it? Beloved, it was a spiritual battle, a spiritual contention with the prince of this world and with all his legions. But we are grateful that the Lord dealt with these powers and principalities. But not only that, he completely disarmed them. You all know, in the war, the matter is not finished until the enemy is still armed. Hands up, laying the weapons down. And so it happened to the enemy and all his powers on the cross of Calvary. I have to believe it because God's word says so. And I don't have to make any efforts. It will be manifested. The day comes on which even the last enemy, which is death, will be before all of us as defeated. Today, God still allows him to carry people across, but he has no part in us and we have no part in him. We have, according to the word of God, we have crossed over from death into life because we have come to believe in Jesus Christ. So the Lord disarmed the powers of darkness and then he made a show of them openly. Once again the question, who was able to perceive it publicly with earthly eyes? It was a spiritual battle, a mighty contention. Satan got, of course, his right on mankind because Eve hearkened to him. Everything came under his rulership. The whole earth, he is the God of this world. Now the Lord, the original owner, he has paid the price here on this earth to redeem us, to give us salvation and grace, to bring us back into fellowship with himself. So sad this day is for us on the one hand, that our Lord and Redeemer had to walk this way of reproach, which no other one walked. And yet we see therein his love towards us, his mercy that includes us all. Who can explain this with words? There, when he spoke out the curse upon the field, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. Here, it is him who wears the crown of thorns. He visibly wore that what was spoken out as a curse. He has put it upon his own head and has worn it. With it, he went to the cross and was made sin for us, so that we would become partakers of the righteousness of God. Yes, the whole curse laid on him. For it is written, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He hang on a tree. But you and I, we were in him. From God's point of view, we were in Christ before the foundation of the world ordained to partake of this divine deed of salvation of our God. As true as our Lord was the Redeemer, so certain we were redeemed. For this belongs together. The Redeemer brought us redemption. There's only one word which I still want to read, namely here, from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here it speaks of the exaltation. Jesus said at the time, when I am lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all the children of God to myself. there on Calvary, he was a bit lifted up in reproach and shame, but in another sense. But after he has won the victory and entered glory, he was exalted above everything and has a name which is above every other name. I still have to read a word from Hebrews chapter 7, where the same word is also written. Hebrews 7 from verse 26. Yes, maybe even from verse 22. From verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now comes the verse. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We of course could read much. Let us summarize. That day was a very special day in the history of mankind. It was a highlight in the plan of salvation. Many prophets and righteous men desired to see this day and have not seen it, but they fell asleep in the hope which Job expressed the best. And though my skin worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh I will see God. They knew, because they had a living hope in them, and they could even cry out like Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Yes, he came as the fulfillment of all that what was foretold. Beloved, he is your and my hope, your and mine Redeemer. In him we have the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the salvation, and the grace. Let us never believe that God does half of a work. No, what God does is complete, and we believe in a perfect redemption, perfect reconciliation, perfect salvation by the grace of our God. An extraordinary day was that day, and today it can become your and mine extraordinary day when we experience what God has prepared for us on that day. Then we can walk from here praising and thanking, giving glory to our God. Who wants to believe today that all this is true, that this really took place? A great stage. That's how we read it. It was a battle of decision. And I'm grateful to God. I know only one victor. No compromise. No, please not. Only one victor, the victor of Calvary. No agreement, no compromise, but a full decommissioning, a full victory, full salvation, perfect grace. Believe it tonight with all your heart. Many have the impression that a compromise was made there. Never ever. He disarmed the powers. He exposed the principalities and made a show of them openly. That was no compromise, but a redemption of divine kind with a great triumph, with a wonderful victory. And into this victory of God of Calvary, we want to participate. And also this thought I want to emphasize in closing. When our Lord died, everything looked lost and hopeless. And now you may think about me, it looks almost the same. Then take yourself the example of our Lord. There, where he, as the weak one, as the one who failed, as the one who was mistreated, he was considered the one where now all hope was gone. Right there, God manifested the greatest victory of all times for you and for me. If we are the seed of Abraham, then we hope also there where there is no hope, and we hold fast to the word of the divine promise, and we honor God by it. And God in return confirms his word as being true in us and through us. I'm grateful for that remarkable, unique day in the history of mankind. I'm grateful that the effect will reach up to the completion. All whom the Lord will call, to them is given the same salvation, the grace, and the promises of God. Should there be today still be such in our midst who did not experience this yet, then today is the best evening. Today, the Good Friday shall not be a public holiday, but an experience with your God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't celebrate what happened on Calvary. We experience what happened there. This is the big difference. All of the Christian world celebrates, and the true believers experience it. May God give it to us tonight, in faith and in confidence. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. We have emphasized it, that day was a special day, a unique day, a great day in the plan of salvation. Today, this great day, this unique day, shall become the unique experience of salvation, of pardoning, of salvation for many. And I have the request in the presence of God, if some are here who did not yet accept and receive the Lord consciously, make your decision now. The Lord calls. He admonishes. He wants to draw you to himself. Forgiveness and salvation is here for you. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, and we persevere in silent prayer before God, I would like to ask whether such who need prayer have the courage to raise their hand briefly and put them down again? Are there some? God bless you. God bless you. Let us sing once again, Just As I Am. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and the hearts. You know also those who did not have the courage to raise their hand. You give them the decision in their heart. Dear Savior, may this become a great day for us, for each one of us, that Calvary is again shown to us and transfigured unto us, that we not only sing Wonderful Calvary, that we understand what happened there for us, so that it can happen now in us and that it may be manifested through us. Dear Savior, may you, in all our weakness, manifest your victory, the victory over all the power of Satan, over everything, O Lord, the victory of Calvary. Dear Lord, we thank you so deeply that you speak in such a way with us, revealing unto us your word and your will, speaking to our hearts, O Lord, making us willing to believe you, to serve you, and to follow you. Faithful Lord, I have one more request. Take away all diffidence, all unbelief. Take everything away from us what hinders you. O God, that we swing up in the faith to thank you with all our hearts. For truly great things you have done. Your suffering and dying was worthwhile. I thank you for it. The reward of your pain is great, O Lord. Here sits a part of your blood-bought flock. Here we are in your presence to thank you for the unique redemption, for the unique salvation, for the grace, and for the forgiveness, Lord. Oh, beloved Savior, we were separated without God and without hope. Now we are reconciled with God and connected. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise, honor, glory, and worship be to your name. All the world shall hear it, that we rejoice in our God, for we are redeemed. Redeemed, I may glorify it. Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear Savior, show us and write it in our hearts. The letter of requirements is torn in pieces. It was nailed to the cross. Lord, your blood was shed. Everything is forgiven. Reconciliation, grace, and salvation. The day of salvation broke forth for me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The day of salvation can dawn for you today. Precious heart, receive it by faith. The Lord God speaks to you. Very personal. Hallelujah. Glory, praise, and honor be to our God.